You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Everybody, Pat Rigsby here with another episode of the Ideal Business Show, and today we're going to change things up a little bit because we're 20 episodes in, so I've had the opportunity to spend 20 blocks of time interviewing successful entrepreneurs from throughout the fitness industry and really digging into how they've kind of moved along that journey towards having their ideal business. And so what I wanted to do was to pick out three of my favorite lessons, three of my favorite takeaways from those 20 episodes and kind of distill them down and share them with you. So I don't know that this will be as long as some of our other episodes, but I think that there's some great reminders, some takeaways that I know that have had a powerful impact on me. And it's really one of my favorite reasons for doing the show. I mean, selfishly, I get to spend some time, you know, really connecting and learning about what's driven people to success, right? Like, I've gotten to spend some time seeing what people's journey has been, kind of how they've built out a plan, what their goals are. And really, I feel like there's some recurring themes throughout the 20 episodes that I've been able to do. So I wanted to go ahead and pick out five things that I feel like have been really powerful takeaways that are valuable to all of us. So let's go ahead and jump in and get started. So takeaway number one came from John Berardi. And, you know, it was shared in other ways from other people. In fact, I think most all the successful entrepreneurs that I talk to have some kind of version of this in their own way. But John did such a wonderful job of, you know, really making it simple to understand and expounding on it. And it was guardrails, the concept of guardrails. Now, in my own business, I've always thought about, okay, I've got kind of my rules that I want to play by. If I think of business as a game, what are the rules I'm going to play by? But when John used the term guardrails, it really made a lot of sense because, you know, if we're thinking about the journey that we're on a road to a destination, and that destination is our ideal business, well, then the guardrails are those kind of boundaries we need to stay between so that we're achieving the success that we want. Well, kind of staying true to what our vision is, what our values are. And this was just such a powerful way to explain this because, you know, I think one of the things that John discussed pretty extensively was, you know, how he's been able to have success and how, you know, he and his team have been able to build Precision Nutrition into, you know, the clear market leader in their category. And they've done this without having a corporate office. I mean, if you would have said, hey, somebody can build a $35 or $40 million company and now, you know, going beyond that in the upcoming year and do it without having a corporate office, man, I'm sure that a lot of people would think that you were crazy. But instead of saying, okay, wait a minute, how does everybody do it and we're just going to do what everybody else has done, you know, John and the PN team have kind of set out their rules and the parameters that they're going to play by, their guardrails, and then found ways to make it work. So, you know, he talked about wanting to have a world-class team but not being bound to only, you know, having that one office space. So people could work anywhere in the world and contribute if they had something valuable to add to the organization. He talked about wanting to build a world-class certification company without having to travel the world. And so now they've got, you know, a certification leg or section of Precision Nutrition that has served well over 30,000 30,000, and I'm sure the number's grown, fitness professionals. And he doesn't go around and travel and do certifications. He doesn't do that live. It's all that home study format. And they figured out how to do that and still do it at, you know, at a really high level and not ever feel like they're having to compromise the quality of the resource they're creating or the education they're delivering, but they can still do it virtually. And then, you know, one of the most powerful things that I thought that he shared was talking about working 4 days a week for 7 hours a day, or working no more than 7 hours a day and taking Fridays off, if you will. And, you know, so now he's got these parameters that, okay, I have to choose wisely. I'm only going to work so much time, so what is the best use of my time? And when you think about those guardrails, instead of feeling limiting, in my mind, they're actually freeing, because it forces you to find better solutions. It causes you to be more creative, and it allows you to say no to mediocre things and just simply focus on doing great things and choosing the things that are going to have the most impact for your business, for your life, for your income, for your family. So, you know, concept number one or takeaway number one was that of guardrails. And I think that is one that so many of us in the entrepreneurial world miss, especially because early on we kind of have to do everything. We're working, it seems like, around the clock. And all too often we kind of just stay in that one kind of frame of mind about, okay, this is work. This is how I've grown a business from zero to 500,000 or zero to a million or beyond. So I'm just going to do more of this instead of saying, okay, how can I do things better? How can I do things smarter? How can I kind of put some guardrails up so that I don't feel like I'm working for my business? Instead, my business is working for me. All right. So takeaway number two. The way that I've taken this is that to really succeed, you've got to be committed to being better than everyone else at something, right? Now, that may mean better than everyone else in your local market if you're running a local business, or in your particular category if, you know, you're trying to win in, you know, a particular kind of niche or specialty, or, you know, I mean, doing something better than everyone else might be a particular marketing channel or a particular way that, you know, you choose to grow your business. But everybody that I talked to throughout this entire 20 episodes, they really kind of doubled down and said, okay, you know what, I'm not going to settle for just being mediocre. I'm not just going to settle for being average or ordinary. They either got to a point where they are the best in their respective market at something and, you know, have continued to try to create a bigger gap between them or, you know, themselves and the competition, or that's what they're pursuing, right? In truth, I think that's one of the things that we miss as business owners is that we get so bombarded with shiny object syndrome. There's so many different things going on and so many things kind of tugging at our attention that we forget that if you want to have a truly great business, you need to commit to doing something that you're going to be better than the competition at. And it's not just different. You want to be the undisputed market leader at something. And, you know, I look at people like Cressy Sports Performance saying, okay, we're going to be the market leader in baseball performance training. Obviously, Precision Nutrition is another great example of stepping up and saying they're going to be the best in their market. Pat Beef committing to being the best at sports performance education or sports performance coach development. I look back through this and, you know, it's not the people that have had tremendous success and are really building that ideal business, which I think is also reflective of them being really excited about what they do. They're not trying to be jacks of all trades. They're not trying to be average at so many different things. They're committed to being the best in their market. But even if we think about a local business, you know, I look at Justin Yule and really the thing that he's done in his local market is saying, okay, we are going to be the undisputed leader in Chanhassen, Minnesota, at transformation. And, you know, that's winning that respective category. Now, yeah, it's not on that global scale the way that precision nutrition is, or on that national scale the way that, you know, Sam Bakhtiar has been with running transformation challenges in the camp. But in that local sense, Justin said, okay, we're going to be the number one leader in this thing in our market. And setting that out as your site, saying, okay, we're going to do something better than everyone else does, it's not a common goal. That's not what most businesses set out to do. And that's why most businesses end out settling for being ordinary. They settle for being average. I mean, I know for me, you know, I know I want to be the best in my market at connecting via an email essay. I mean, it seems really simple, but if I win that one channel of connection with the people that I serve, now I'm going to stand out. I'm kind of the standard bearer. So that's a goal for me that I continually try to set out and pursue. And then hopefully, you know, if I'm at a point where I am that market leader, I'm doing more and more and more to try to create a gap between me and the competition. So doing something better than everyone else is a goal I believe that all of us should pursue if we're going to build our ideal business, because there are only really two paths to success, and that's being different or being better. But ultimately, being different is a temporary path, right? Because once you start to have some success that way, other people will try to follow suit, and you have to shift gears to being better. You have to shift gears to saying, we're better than everybody else at this thing. So, yeah, if you're trying to break into a market and get a little bit of traction, you can just do things completely different. But understand that people are going to emulate you. They're going to copy you, and they should, right? Because you're good at what you do. You're having success. So the way that you continue to lead is by committing to doing things better than everybody else. And that's been something that I have seen repeatedly throughout these interviews. All right. So takeaway number three, there's more than one path. There is more than one route to building your ideal business. There's more than one road to getting where you're trying to go. And in fact, if I look down the list of the guests that I've had, I mean, there's a little bit of crossover between all of them. There are common themes as far as their drive and their passion and their desire to impact people. But, I mean, they've taken so many different routes. I mean, I've talked about guys like John Berardi doing it through, you know, habit-based nutrition coaching with precision nutrition, or teaching other fitness professionals to do that. And everything they do is virtual. And then I look at somebody like Sam Bakhtiar, who's grown his organization into upwards of 70 locations between corporately owned and licensed and franchised. And there, it's all local. It's all kind of, you know, boots on the ground type of coaching. And they've got over 27,000 before and afters to show for it. So, I mean, both of them are having profound impacts on the markets they're trying to serve, but they're doing it in drastically different ways, almost polar opposite ways. And then you look at somebody like, you know, Pressy Sports Performance and how they've, yeah, I mean, they do things other than baseball, but one of the things that they've done taking a different path is they've just said, okay, we're going to lead this one kind of narrow vertical, this one kind of narrow channel. It's not just we train athletes. It's not just we do this or that. We're going to win this one category, and doing it by choosing, you know, a very narrow target market. Then I looked at somebody like Dale King in my hometown in Portsmouth, Ohio, taking a completely different approach to success. You know, instead of looking for, you know, a great market in an opportunity to mesh his strengths with that, he, you know, he said, okay, this is what the market needs. This is what my community that's struggling and just barely getting by needs. They need more strength in this community. They need somebody to lead and to be uplifting and to try to reinfuse some of the pride back into the community. And he took his leadership skills and did that and spun it off into not just a very successful local gym, in a market that I would think that most people wouldn't try to pursue at all, but then a successful nonprofit having a huge impact, a successful business that creates all natural, like, ointments and product, like cosmetic type products, just won a deal on Shark Tank just last night. And that's a completely different approach than so many other people have taken. I look at my good friend John Spencer Ellis, who has a wonderful publishing model where, you know, he's got two different certification organizations, Nesta and the Spencer Institute, where he's basically creating a platform to publish other experts and create credentials around that that lift up fitness and health and sport professionals. And then somebody else who's kind of taken another publishing approach but done it in a different way is Pat Beeth, where he said, okay, I'm not going to go as broad as that fitness and health and personal development route. I'm going to focus in on sports performance and be the leading educator there. So there's more than one path to get where you're trying to go. There, you know, when somebody comes and tells me that, man, there's not enough opportunity where I'm at, or, you know, there's just a really low ceiling, and I'm just mystified because I look at all of these people and I see this success. I mean, I've gotten to connect with everybody from Todd Durkin to, you know, Ryan Lee and down the line, who all have different approaches and different businesses. And, you know, some of them train world-class athletes and others deliver education to just try to groom professionals to improve in the industry. And, you know, others, you know, have just simple local businesses where they're trying to lift up a community, and they're all having a profound impact, and they're all, you know, building a nice income for themselves and having a business that supports their lifestyle, and they're loving what they do. They're having a tremendous impact for that segment of the market that they've chosen to serve. I'm like, man, there's so many different paths that you can do this. And, yeah, I understand if somebody says, well, I can't choose just one. That's a challenge. That's a challenge I can accept, that you have to pick to go be the best at something. You have to pick, where am I going to start? But when somebody suggests that there is an opportunity, or they need to go somewhere else because, you know, the opportunity isn't where they are, I just have to laugh. It's a cop-out. It's an excuse. And these guys are living proof of this. In fact, if you want to talk about more than one path, I've interviewed business partners in Eric Cressy and Pete Dupuy, who both contribute to the same cause. You know, they're both helping to build Cressy Sports Performance into a huge success. And, you know, they've done it each wearing different hats and each contributing their particular strengths and particular skills. And that's how they've done it, which is different than so many other people. I mean, some people throughout this list have business partners that complement them, like those two. Some people are solo acts, and you know, and some people have built tremendous teams, while others are just a shade beyond being solopreneurs. So there's no one route to getting where you want to go. It's just a pursuit, a dedication, deciding that you're going to be successful, and then pursuing it relentlessly, and then ideally committing to being better than everyone else and using those guardrails to keep you from allowing it to kind of run roughshod over the rest of your life. Now, with that being said, one of the things that I've seen throughout all of these is that there are no overnight successes. There isn't immediate gratification. And you see this anytime, you know, some celebrity talks about how they're a 15-year overnight success. I mean, we see that kind of story, and we feel like they're an overnight success because we just now learned about them. But when I look at all of these people, you know, none of them were people that just all of a sudden said, okay, I'm just going to launch an ebook, and next thing you know, I'm just raking in money. I'm just printing cash or anything like that. They all developed a proficiency at their craft. They all decided to be great at something, and they pursued it. And it was this incremental improvement. Now, yeah, a lot of them had breakthroughs that allowed them to, instead of grow 10% at a time, maybe allowed them to double or triple in a year because they, you know, they figured out a particular marketing channel, or they dialed in their voice or brand, or they got a, you know, an opportunity to leverage that really made a difference, or they had a shift. So yeah, there are plenty of ways that people accelerated their progress, but none of them were, you know, just fresh starting out and then next thing you knew, you know, had just raving success. That's not how it works, okay? That's not how it works at all. I've yet to meet people like that. And, you know, instead, the people that I've got to spend time with here, they're all people that I greatly respect. They're all people that I've learned from. They all had, you know, their own version of this wonderful journey where, you know, they started to pursue something. They kind of figured themselves out. They kind of figured out where they wanted to go, and they committed to doing the work. They just kind of had that snowball effect where they just kept improving and dialing things in and figuring out what their direction was or what they wanted to be known for. And, you know, if there was this recurring kind of common thread throughout all of these interviews, it's that, you know, nobody went from zero to profound success overnight or even in a year. They all had this buildup, and, you know, some of them, it's just been a continual buildup over years and years and years. Well, others, you know, kind of had a slow ramp up and then kind of exploded. And it's been really inspiring, but it's been also a great reminder that perseverance matters, that being willing to stay the course and commit to continual improvement and commit to doing what others won't do that are simply settling for ordinary and dreaming, and instead, you know, avidly pursuing being better, being great, is, you know, is a true difference maker, maybe as much or more of a difference maker than a particular skill or a particular talent or choosing the right niche. Having the willingness to pursue until you break through is probably the trait that really ran through everybody that helped them achieve success. All right, and on to number five. Takeaway number five, play your strengths. Every one of the people that I spoke with, every one of these, you know, fitness entrepreneurs, they all were smart enough to spend a lot of time doing more of what they do well and finding ways to minimize the things that maybe they aren't as strong in, or streamline those, or outsource those, or delegate them, or eliminate them. And yeah, I mean, everybody, we need to develop the skills that our position requires. If we're going to be a leader, and maybe early on we're not a great communicator, we have to develop communication skills. We have to develop leadership skills. But, you know, none of the 20 interviews that I did were those people spending none of them were those people spending a great deal of time doing things like data entry? Were they spending a great deal of time, you know, on the small nuances or doing the bookkeeping and that sort of stuff? I mean, they're focused in on their unique ability and doing tremendous work. I mean, I look at a guy like Mike Robertson who, you know, he loves coaching. He loves connecting with clients and athletes in that way. And so he found different channels to do that, you know, does some work, you know, in the facility, the very, you know, specific clientele that he wants to work with, but then online coaching and then even a group coaching program, because he said, okay, look, this is what I do. I'm a great coach and I'm a great educator. So I'm going to do more of those things, and I'm going to get other people to support me and help me in the areas that I'm not passionate about, that I'm not ever going to have a strong desire to develop as true strengths, or that aren't those kind of, you know, high level, high ROI tasks for me. They're things that I can pay somebody else to do and, you know, allow me to almost essentially buy more time to focus on that kind of zone of greatness. And I look at all of these people and they've done that, right? They've focused on what their strengths are. I mean, I know, you know, when I talk to somebody like Ryan Lee, the way that he structures, you know, his businesses now and his coaching or his marketing now, it all fits in with his personality and the things he's good at. And over time, he's, you know, he's discarded some of the things that maybe weren't his area, right? His passion or the areas he's really excited about. When we looked at Pete Dupuy and Eric Cressy and them having complementary strengths where they get to support one another, Sam Bakhtiar has people on his team to handle more of the operational side because that's not the area that he's as excited about. And this has allowed him to grow exponentially. And I know that from my standpoint, I look at the people that I have on my team, their strengths are different than mine. And they're, you know, the things that they're focused on and, you know, inspired to get better at are different than mine. And so they allow me to kind of stay in my lane, if you will. And I think that the great people are all more of a specialist, right? They're, every one of them, if we look at sports, it's rare that, you know, the best people are great at everything, right? I mean, they're specialists in certain areas. You know, Tom Brady isn't kicking and playing the offensive line as well, right? So if you want to be a true leader, if you want to have profound success, you've got to be willing to kind of double down on your strengths. So I could probably go on and on about my takeaways from this first 20 episodes. And in fact, what I've noticed throughout this is when I started the podcast, one of the things I was most excited about was being able to share other people's journey to building their ideal business instead of just sharing my own experiences and my own journey and my own kind of thoughts and insight. But one of the great ancillary benefits of this is it's allowed me to have, you know, 30 or 45 minutes uninterrupted where I just get to spend time connecting with people who have so much value to share. It's been a great inspiration, educational tool for me. And I hope it has been for you guys as well, because I think those journeys are so exciting. In fact, I learn more effectively from watching and studying what successful people do and trying to find common themes throughout, or kind of trying to find ways to understand something that really connects with me. And being able to do this with so many people who are great at what they do has been a great benefit to me, and it's something I've truly enjoyed. So hopefully you've enjoyed it as well, and hopefully these five takeaways from the first 20 episodes of the Ideal Business Show have been good for you. I know they've been wonderful for me, and we've got more in store. We've got more great guests to come. We've got more lessons and case studies on how to build your ideal business. So until the next show, have a wonderful time. Thank you for listening. This is Pat Rigsby with the Ideal Business Show, signing off.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut-and-paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.